whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And we are underway on a Saturday, and that sound means Tech Talk with Doug Swindehart. And by the way, if you want to visit with Doug, great way to do it is on our text line, 651-461-9226. If you want to visit with Doug on the program today, send a text to the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line at 651-461-9226. Doug, good to visit with you. Here we are moving toward the middle of January, and winter gets a little bit long, folks spending a lot more time on their computers, and we want people to get in touch early because inevitably at the end of the program, we run out of time and we're not able to get to everyone. So by all means, get in early, send us text. And we'll certainly get you on the air as quick as we can. I hope you're doing well.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I got to mention this weather. I'm just amazed. We got another late winter happening.
Yeah, and not as easy as a year ago. It looks like there's a little snow on the way, way more up north. And we'll have more on that weather again at the bottom of the hour. But so far, so good. Looks like it'll get chilly early in the week. And then we got a January thaw coming up. The way it looks toward the end of the week. So you are right indeed, Doug. One of the things I wanted to get to, and it's come up a lot because there's a lot of marketing around VPNs right now, and people are wondering, do I need it? You have an internet service provider, whether it's Xfinity or CenturyLink or one of the competitors now in the fiber space. Fiber companies are moving rapidly into the Twin Cities area. And then, of course, there's the 5G, like T-Mobile has 5G, which is you get a little appliance. I've been testing it out here in the house. You get a little thing about the size of a coffee maker, and you set it up, and it brings in 5G cellular signals and then converts that to Wi-Fi. You can even plug in Ethernet to it. Point being is there's a lot of competitors here, but that's not necessarily a VPN. And people are always wondering what do they need to know? Is it completely necessary for most users?
Yeah, you know, it's such a split topic. Yeah, people are saying, oh, they're a joke. They're not worth it. And I can only speak from my experience. Yes, they're going to help you somewhat. I don't think most people need them. And in addition to that, people who are interested in getting a VPN really should be aware that with their streaming service, they can create a lot of time and a lot of maintenance. So the best one that I've found is Proton. And even Proton, from time to time, it gets goofy. They have to know where you are location. I think they actually have to prove and verify your location to whoever is supplying their content. And that's really the problem with the streaming services. It's not that they don't want you to be safe and secure. It's just the opposite. But they've got contractual agreements. And I think something else that people need to be aware of when they're shopping. The majority of VPNs are actually buying the service and reselling it from one of the three or four big guys. It's turned into quite the business. It really is. And I always worry, what happens if the VPN company gets hacked? And it has happened. It's rare, but it does happen. And so that would be just a nightmare. But I seem to do okay with Proton, and you can purchase it or try it free. Of course, the free is not going to run as fast as the purchase one, but mine is lickety-split and runs really good, and the issues are minimal, much, much less than some of the other ones I've tried. I think I tested out 8 or 9 of them. And that's just scratching the surface. So I wouldn't get too carried away with some big service until you play around with them and get to know what they do and how much work it's going to be. Some of them require you got to put it on every device. I've got mine set up so it's a whole house, a whole location, and even that is not 100% foolproof. I think reverse DNSing is going to be much, much bigger come in 2025 which is a whole different technology. That's my opinion, Steve, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, and there was another one, and I don't know if they misheard, but they talked about VPNs and the router, et cetera. Are they mutually exclusive? Maybe talk a little bit about that. Is there any configuring that needs to be done with your router, for instance?
Well, I actually purchased my router exclusively as I put VPNs in the router. That way, my internet wire comes into the house through the Xfinity modem, out of the modem, into my Vivo router, and my Vivo will handle as many VPNs as I'm signed up for, including free ones. So that covers the whole house. That's a central located is going to be much, much simpler to work with. Even if you think you're afraid of the router, I wouldn't be. A little bit of reading, you'll have it up and running in a couple hours.
I got it.
That saves everybody from putting it on every device. It's huge to do it, to configure it that way. I think it's really the answer.
Yeah, and you and I have brought this up before. With the modem, whoever your internet service provider, we both believe this, that the equipment, I've always felt comfortable. We'd been with CenturyLink for years using their modem. I know people, you have Xfinity, for example. You use their modem. As a matter of fact, I've been test driving the T-Mobile internet on their 5G gateway.
Mm-hmm.
It is their provided equipment. I'm a big believer in that from a modem standpoint.
You are going to save yourself tons of intermittent problems that you just won't have. When you deal with an internet service provider, I like to use their equipment until it hits mine or somewhere in that area. That they will take responsibility for that. And if you've got internet signal to your house, then you know that at least the wide area networking is taken care of. I couldn't agree more. And I think mine rents now, and I've got a 2 gigabyte. I'm getting a little over a gig feed, supposedly. And I think that mine's renting for like 15 or 16 bucks a month. Worth its weight in gold. It really is. They got great equipment. They're responsible actually for the security to my house that way, which I like. And if they have updates, which happens all the time, if you've got a modem that's 2-3 years old or a router, they're the same thing in that particular instance. But if you got one that's 2-3 years old, it may not accept the update. And they're not responsible to tell you. It's you're kind of on your own. It's more work than I think people realize. And well, if I keep it for 5 years, it'll pay for itself after 3. You might as well rent. You might as well rent, especially with the new stuff coming out. Wi-Fi 7 is going to change everything, you know, the wireless 7. And that's coming on real strong. So I think that's really the way to go. But just get that monkey off your back. What the little bit that you pay extra for your account, it's well worth it.
Yeah, and here's the thing. What I had learned over the years, when they own the equipment up to the modem, I get the sense it's easier for them to troubleshoot where that problem is. And then once you get into the house, if it's your wiring, et cetera, but it just seems to me you might as well take their equipment all the way up to that modem in your house.
No question.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I played with a lot of people who are, you know, they were going to buy their own modem router, and it works great. Sometimes for 6 months, sometimes for 8, but it's really not a long-term solution. And we're going to have the internet long-term.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense in my mind.
Yeah, I don't see anybody turning their back on that. Anytime soon, that is for sure. By the way, we invite your texts on the program today is 651-461-9226. That is the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. When we come back, we've got a good one, and that is a point about backups, and we'll get into that. Also, there's a lot of talk about tariffs, et cetera, and the new administration coming into power very soon in Washington, and what that could mean for computer equipment. We'll get into that. I don't know how much we can add to that, other than point out that there are concerns about what could happen with all the computer equipment and the components coming from overseas. So we'll get into all of that in a moment. It is Tech Talk. Doug on board for the entire hour, and once again, you can send a text, and the number is 651-461-9226 here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Tech Talk continues. By the way, all our shows are available in podcast form at WCCORadio.com. Search Tech Talk. And these shows, and this show has been around for years, and there's a lot of great material, and we invite you to download and enjoy those anytime you wish. Once again, the podcast, Tech Talk, available at WCCORadio.com. Pleased to be joined by Doug Swinhart. And Doug, I don't know how much we can comment, but recent computer newsletter, and the texter didn't cite a source, but said tariffs could have, and we'll just not use numbers from the text, but generalize here and say that if a widespread tariffs are implemented, the cost of computer equipment could go up, and could go up significantly in some circumstances, depending on where it is ultimately assembled, and a lot of components come from overseas. So we need to be aware of that, and once again, we don't know what's going to happen, but once again, a number of people are predicting if there are widespread tariffs, particularly on computer equipment and components, prices could go up.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But, you know, I guess I kind of take life as it comes, and it's completely out of our control. We really can't worry about stuff that might happen. So I've kind of put that in back. I've actually been a little bit more concerned with the fact that TP-Link is still under the threat that the U.S. government is saying you might not be able to sell your product in the country. And it's really been overstated. They really have an excellent record. And in fact, some of the names that have not done so well, you would surprise you. Cisco has the top of the list. Now, Cisco will come back with a retort, and they'll say, that's because we've got more equipment out there in more places that are targets. And that's true. So this is a very difficult thing to judge. And they're talking about it might happen, but I don't know how many people have been affected by this. I get the sense with this TP-Link router ban issue, I get a sense it's more about politics and economics rather than actual vulnerability and exploitation. That's just my feeling. I think that people are also starting to question, well, you're going to ban TikTok. I don't know too much about TikTok, never been associated with it, but I kind of cringe at complete total censorship to that level. And I'm not certain why, but you ban something from an entire country. Oh my goodness. And TP-Link is not worried. They say they've got all their ducks in a row, and there's a ton of TP-Link equipment out there. There really is, but they're certainly not the biggest provider by any means. But in proportion to what they've sold and the amount of issues that they've had and how long it's taken them to fix them, they're right on it. Oh, well, they got to be. This is their reputation on the line. It's their livelihood. It's how they feed their families. So it's they're taking it very seriously. I hope the ban doesn't happen. I got lots of TP-Link equipment in my place. So and mine all seems safe and secure. But then you always, when people start worrying about, you know, being hacked into and going to steal your stuff, I don't have that much to where I'm worried about somebody trying to get in and take it. You know, and most people are on that level. If a hacker's going to put his life on the line and live under the fear of going to jail, it's going to be for something big. Yeah, you know what I mean? You're going to go after millions of dollars, not hundreds. I think that people got to keep that in perspective.
And it is Tech Talk. By the way, you can join us on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Text preferred, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226 on the program today. Doug, here's another one. And the fires in the greater L.A. area are heartbreaking. Just an absolute tragedy.
Indeed.
But the text said, a fitting reminder with the fires out west that backups to external hard drives only may not be enough. Cloud backups are critical for a complete backup. And we bring that up, that it is a good idea if you have an external hard drive and you back up those key files and you move them aside and have them disconnected, you know you've got a copy. But one copy is not enough, and we've talked about that over and over. Ideally, you would have another hard copy off-site, maybe with a family member. But cloud backup is preferred as well.
Oh, no question. And this was one of the things that was so attractive to me for Proton, because my account is about $170 for 2 years. I have 5 gigabytes of storage up in the cloud. And Proton doesn't put it on one particular computer. It'll put it on 4 or 5 situated and located around the planet. So that's another that I don't even have to deal with. And I know that it's going to be safe and secure, and any kind of data that is important to me, it's going to be there when I need it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cloud storage, it's absolutely critical today. And Google Drive works the same way. Apple's iCloud, it's huge. And even though it might cost a little bit more, it certainly ties together with Apple equipment better than anything else out there that I know of. So it's good to check out your options. And I think cloud storage is going to be absolutely huge over the next 5 to 10 years. Without question. People are becoming more aware of the importance of their data. And it is vulnerable, no matter where it is, to a point. Can't be 100% certain, but I think you can be relatively comfortable with almost any decision that you make with a company that's located in North America. But stay local. Let's drop some dollars locally if we can.
Yeah, and what the images coming in from Southern California in the L.A. area. It is just heartbreaking.
Yeah, yes, and, it is.
And once again, when people have to pick up and leave as quick as they can, once again, it is a good backup. And it all goes back to one thing, Doug, that we have talked about. Hardware can be replaced. And that's why, and this is an example we can all use, that having your data backed up and a number of copies, that working copy on your machine, a secondary backup on an external hard drive. But in this case, for these people, having cloud storage is invaluable.
Yeah, and every operating system I know of, Mac, iOS, Windows, Linux, they've gone the extra mile to make creating a backup and having your data safe a priority. This is not a new issue. Everybody should have this taken care of. I really do mean that. I think that if you give it a little bit of thought, you can take care of it in less than 10 to 15 minutes a week once you get yourself on track, if that. But it needs to be done. It really does.
All right, quick break. We will come back a whole lot more on Tech Talk. We'll have the weather, and then Doug will rejoin, and we'll get into the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. Still plenty of time to send your text, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. We'll get into a couple of texts revolving around potential scams online and get Doug's thoughts about that. So be sure and stick around. There's a lot of scams out there. And one of those has to do with online storage. We'll get into that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk, and we're on the air Saturdays between 3 and 4 o'clock. Doug Swinhart is aboard, and you can always join us on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line here on the program. And speaking of that, let's go back to the text, and here's a good one. Someone just turned 70, happy birthday, and they don't own a computer or tablet. They have a cell phone but don't have internet at home. They'd like to get into a computer, and the question is, Doug, what would you recommend, and is there someone that can help you set everything up? Doug, let's get into that.
You know, the first thing I would say is I try to make sure what size screen this individual needed, let them play with a couple of keyboards, but they're probably going to get pointed towards a Chrome OS, a Chromebook, a Chromebox. That's really their sin. They're going to require very, very little help with that particular operating system. You know how it works. Turn it on, it's just there. And they just have to learn a couple of applications, especially when it comes to the internet. If they've got any help at all so they can gain an understanding of what a browser is, what internet content is, what copy and paste is when you need to save your stuff, and how to set up an account and how to maintain your own security. That would be the first step for that individual all day long.
Yeah. And Doug, Chromebooks are great because they are self-contained. We've talked about it for years. Great way to get your feet wet. And here's another thing, and there are great resources through AARP. Your local senior center will have classes, and I guarantee you community ed will certainly have it. Look for classes. There are people that can help you get set up. If you don't have email, if you don't know how to operate, there are people that can walk you through this and get you set up. First thing you're going to need to do is wherever you live, apartment, condo, home, make sure you have internet service. And Doug, you've given great advice. Don't skimp on the speed. It's easy to spend other people's money, but you know this is one where you want good, solid, fast internet.
Oh, no doubt. If you're with Xfinity, I'm going to just say it right out. Just get a minimum of 400 megabits per second. And it's really not that much more money to step up to a gig. And be aware that the faster internet you have, the less the extra TV you have to purchase. It's all going to come in through the net, even your local channels. Or I kind of like the idea of having a local antenna, even though I haven't got one yet. But that was my original plan before I started to have trouble with my health. But I think that we live in an area where you got a plethora of TV airwaves, and it's all HD. If you got a decent TV, it's going to be great reception. Yeah, anybody in the Twin Cities, unless you're blocked somehow, you should have all kinds of channels that have come in over the years as well. But with the internet, you're going to have some kind of connection, and I say keep it wired. Especially if you're new and you need consistency because you're busy learning software and hardware and good practices, yeah, just keep it wired for a while. That would be my advice.
Yeah, and once again, Community Center, AARP, Community Ed, depending on where you live. And say, for instance, you're in a building or an apartment building, chances are they already have internet access. If you're in a single-family home, depending on what your community is, some communities have outstanding internet available. There's a lot of different providers. I've been really actually pleased, and I've mentioned this, the T-Mobile gateway, the 5G, it's worked really great. It has been very impressive. You take it out of the box, you plug it in, it trains up, and away you go. And it's been pretty good. And that is a good option as well. But once again, a lot of providers depending on where you live. And then, one of those other ones, there are more and more players coming into low-level satellites. Starlink is leader. It sounds like Amazon and Jeff Bezos are going to get into that business of low-level satellites providing high-speed internet service. So the options continue to grow.
Oh, that's going to turn into such a competitive battlefield in the next year. Oh, yeah. You get a couple of powerhouses like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos going head-to-head. It's going to be fun to watch this one.
Well, yeah, the egos alone going head-to-head in whatever endeavor. By the way, they own rocket companies, Elon Musk and SpaceX. Jeff Bezos has a rocket company, Blue Origin. They're going toe-to-toe.
You heard that Elon Musk came out with a smart TV for $150, 55-inch, and it's 4K. I'm going to check to see if I can get one someplace. $150 for a 4K TV?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I might wait that out.
Well, wait and see what happens, right?
Let's see what happens. The StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is open, 651-461-9226. Doug, here's a good one, and this could be a scam. Received emails from iCloud saying I'm out of space and my account will be closed if I don't renew and all data will be deleted. And they even said, I think it's a scam. I can't imagine iCloud or any of the backup services would just send emails out of the blue and make threats.
No.
If you have an iCloud account, contact them directly. Do a little research. Do not respond to emails like this.
Well, yeah, that's Apple, you know.
Yeah.
I can't see it. And I would not click on that link to investigate.
No.
I would hover over that link with my pointer, and I would make absolutely certain that the last thing says Apple.com or iCloud.com has to say that.
Yeah.
And I still wouldn't click it.
No.
I would call up Apple and say, listen, I got a problem. Will you help? And if it's a scam, they're going to put a team on it immediately. I haven't heard about anything directly for this, but I do know that, Nancy and I signed up for a family shared iCloud. It's like $14 a year. Got all kinds of space. And we can both access or keep pieces of it private. So it's very reasonably priced, but I have never heard of Apple sending out a message that threatens people to close their account. I just never heard of it.
Well, and log into your account. Maybe billings change. Maybe a credit card expires, etc. But if you see something like that, resist the temptation to respond to that email. You can use it as, hey, I better check this out. Let me go to my iCloud account and check it out. But these are the ones you need to be very leery. That instant call to action, the threats of you'll be cut off, your data will be deleted, you must act now. Those are clear signs of a scam, in my opinion.
Oh, sure. They're trying to motivate you through fear.
Right.
And that should be raising all kinds of red flags and sirens and bells and whistles. That's absolutely. Don't let them lead you into down that dark path. It's just not worth it.
Yeah. And once again, whatever that threatening email or that urgent call to action, don't take action. And I've thought about this for a long time. Don't take action on that email. Do a little research on your own. Take a couple minutes, 3 minutes, slow down and find out. If it's coming from what looks like your bank, go to your bank account, check it out, maybe make a phone call. I can't stress that enough, because we talk about these types of emails and clicking on attachments. That is a major danger zone.
No question. And especially your bank. Your bank, if it's anything like Royal Credit Union, they're on it. Well, this is their livelihood as well. They take this very serious. And the majority of these large hacks at the big financial institutions, I can't prove it, but I can almost guarantee it had to have somebody on the inside that opened up the door and let them in, or did it internally. It's almost a given. The computers are much more secure than I think a lot of people are have the faith and belief in, but they really are. These people are professionals. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Quick break. We'll come back. By the way, we're going to talk about someone who may take a run at putting in a solid-state drive, wants to get Doug's advice on that front, and then organizing photos. We have not talked about photos in a long time, and we'll get Doug's thoughts on how to keep your photos organized and stored in a way that is safe. Once again, cloud storage, external hard drives, all good ideas. We'll get into that with Doug. It is Tech Talk. And by the way, a big thanks to our producer, Lindsey Brown. And you can send a text to the program on the stylesfinancial.com. Talk and text line 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk, 830 WCCO. It has been a very quick hour. Doug Swinhart is in. And a reminder, podcasts available at WCCRadio.com. All our shows in podcast form, including Tech Talk at WCCRadio.com. All right, let's get busy. A lot to get to. Someone has an old laptop and is going to put in an SSD drive. Once again, it's an HP laptop running Windows 10. Anything they should be aware of, Doug, taking on this project?
Absolutely. Almost all of the hard drives that are sold today, an SSD drive in particular, comes with software that will actually mirror your drive. Just make absolutely certain that you are clear-minded about which drive is the source and which drive is the target. You don't want to be overwriting all that data with a fresh drive because there's nothing on it. Other than that, depending upon your computer, you might need to buy another little piece of equipment, an external adapter to connect to your new drive so it can talk to the old drive inside your computer, and set it up and let it mirror. Once that's done, take your cover off and just don't over-tighten the screws. Just put it in where the old one was, boot it up, and you're done. It's that simple. Drive mirroring used to be just a task. It could take hours and hours and hours. But today's equipment, it's just a couple hours, you're done. And I would not be afraid of that whatsoever. And HP is a great computer. I hope it's a desktop, too. That'll really make it simple for them.
No,
if they have problems,
have
them give me a call. I'll help them. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is a laptop. By the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email in a few minutes. But once again, don't wrench on the screws. Very careful. That is a good reminder. I would step in and recommend having a completely separate copy of all the data, documents, photos, etc., in case when you take that step to mirror the drives. And then just take your time, take it easy, and once again, not too tight.
Right, and with a laptop now, just got to make sure that you're getting the right format. Probably going to require a 2.5-inch SSD drive, or possibly could use an NVMe, non-volatile memory enhanced. But it depends on the age of the computer. I think they're probably looking at a 2.5-inch drive. In addition to the little adapter, so you can actually connect both hard drives to your computer at once, you might want to consider purchasing an external hard drive case for your original drive. Once that comes out, $9, $10, you pop it in that, and now you can plug it in via USB port anytime something is got deleted off the new one or something changed. And then when you're certain you've got all your data on the new drive, and on an external hard drive someplace, because you already got one, and then up in the clouds, you can wipe that drive completely clean and start to use it as a modified backup device. Just stay on top of it. Won't take you long at all. You'll catch right on.
Now, we don't have a ton of time, but I do want to get to this one. And we can maybe do it on the show next week and spend more time right at the beginning, and that is organizing photos. And here's the text. What's the best way to organize photos? I have photos from 15 years ago that whenever I want to find one, I can't find them very well. I need a way to organize my photos. And we have talked about this with files and documents and even photos. Coming up with a naming convention that makes sense is huge. I like to use dates as much as I can.
You know, there's another package I've recommended in the past, too, and it's Mylo Photos, M-Y-L-O Photos, L-I-O, I'm sorry. But this is a photo organizer, and it will search your photos by face or location, and that will actually help you. If you're really, lack the confidence to actually do it with a file manager in the operating system, I would say you might want to check out a photo manager software. Probably going to run you $30.
Okay, what is that again before we run out of time, Doug?
It's called Mylo Photos, M-Y-L-I-O Photos. I think that new one's Photos Plus. I would check that out. It's just slick. It's easy to install, and you're rocking and rolling. That's, I think, best practice.
All right, and I'll spell it again real quickly because I know people want to know. Check this out. M-Y-L-I-O. M-Y-L-I-O.
Yep, Milo Photos Plus, and that's just a plus sign, not P-L-U-S. And just Google it and head right over and check it out and see out what they got for you.
All right. Yeah, that might be a good way to go. But I think a week from now we'll talk more about that, and particularly naming files and organizing files. All right, Doug, quickly, phone number and email.
651-552-9543 and admin@wccotech.com. A-D-M-I-N at wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. Thank you, Steve. We'll see you next week.
All right, news in a moment.